So our next Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. Let's listen to the Word of God. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you ask me about what's good? There's only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to Jesus, "Which ones?" Jesus said to him, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and also love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I've kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, then come follow me." When a young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it's impossible, but for God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "Look, we've left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." May God bless to our understanding this reading and hearing of the most holy word. Many who are last will be first. That may be pretty good news for all of us diehard Washington Redskins fans. Just saying. You know, I was reading earlier this week that if you want to go see the Redskins at FedEx Field, the average ticket price this year is over $200. If you want to go see the Patriots up in Foxborough, you're going to pay over $500 per ticket. Money sure can make a difference, can it? You go a lot of places, do a lot of things if you have enough money. All sorts of fun and neat opportunities are available if you can afford the price tag. It's amazing how people who have money are far more likely to get better health care. They're far more likely to get a top-notch education. They're even far more likely to get elected to political office. And if you get into legal trouble, you can get a good lawyer if you have enough money. And so in this morning's sermon reading, Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a person with money to get into heaven. And just about every one of us here this morning hopes that there's some kind of loophole. Because we live in a culture that puts a huge premium on money. But Jesus said, a lot of the things that we think are really important in life are not really that important. And the things that we don't think much of are. And so this morning, we're going to spend a few minutes reflecting on this thing we call the kingdom of heaven, where many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Right now, though, let's take a moment and pray together. Our Lord and our God, thank you so much for speaking to us. Sometimes it's not easy for us to hear your words, Lord, and a lot of times we want to think maybe you're speaking to somebody else. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, open our ears that we can hear what you are saying to us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're still in Matthew chapter 19 today. For those of you who weren't here last week, we were at the beginning of chapter 19 where Jesus talks about marriage and divorce and identity. We're this whole section of Matthew that we are in is one where Jesus and his followers are on this road trip. They're headed south from the northern region of Galilee down to the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus is going to fulfill his earthly ministry. They have come to this place, this region of the ancient world called Perea. It's to the east of the Jordan River, opposite Jericho, Bethany, and Jerusalem. And while they were there, Jesus was faced with a lot of different kinds of issues. A bunch of religious men came to Jesus with this politically loaded question about divorce. We focused on that last week. Then some of Jesus' own disciples got really cranky because a whole bunch of little children wanted to hang out with their teacher. And that's when Jesus made his famous comment about how the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And then this guy comes up to Jesus with another kind of loaded question. Teacher, he asked, what do I need to do to live forever? Okay, so as long as people have been living and dying on this planet, the hope for immortality has been around. Centuries ago, ancient Greek alchemists spent a lot of time and energy trying to create something called a philosopher's stone so that people wouldn't have to die. This famous Spanish explorer, Ponce de Leon, purportedly spent much of the latter part of his life searching for the fountain of youth down in Florida. Okay, according to Dr. Ian Pearson, if you can just hang on until the year 2050, you might actually have a chance. Apparently, at least according to Dr. Pearson, by then we will have developed the technology that will allow you to upload your mind to the cloud, and then you can download it into an android and spend forever in a robot body living here on earth. Can you imagine that? So Jesus answers the question, you want to live forever? Keep the commandments. And those of us who are 21st century American Christians just sort of automatically jump to the big ten that are listed in the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. Jesus is actually referring to the entire body of the law code in the Torah, the 613 commandments that are in the first five books of the Bible. And this young man wants some guidance. Which ones of those 613 are actually the most important? And so Jesus starts to list them off. And you can almost see this young guy with pad and pencil checking them off as they go. No murder, check. No adultery, check. No lying, no. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Treat your neighbor as yourself. Check, check, check. Done all that, Jesus. What else do I need to do? And that's when Jesus said, if you really want to live forever, you got to be perfect. Okay, that's the requirement, you know, because in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has already said, you must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. And if you want to be perfect, then you do this. And so that's when Jesus starts to talk about rich people and heaven and camels and needles and how utterly impossible it is for human beings to deserve the kingdom of heaven. It's kind of like a story I once heard about this young man who was trying to make a good impression on his new boss. He had just gotten a job working at a grocery store. And one morning, a woman comes in and she says, I'd like to purchase half a grapefruit. Well, the young man thought it was a really strange request, so he walked to the back of the store to ask his boss about it. Boss, he said, some nut is up front, wants to buy half a grapefruit. And as he was saying that, he glanced back over his shoulder and noticed that the woman had actually followed him all the way to the back of the store and was standing right behind him. And so immediately he added, and this gracious woman is willing to buy the other half. Is that okay? Well, once they got everything sorted out, the boss expressed, you know, a lot of admiration for how quickly he was able to take his foot out of his mouth. And he said, you know, you're pretty quick-minded. You may have a great future in this business. Where are you from? And the young man said, I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the home of ugly women and great hockey teams. Well, the boss got real rigid and he started to snarl. My wife is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And without missing a beat, the young man said, what hockey team did she play for? See, no matter how hard we try, we always end up making a complete mess of everything. And over the years, all kinds of time and energy have been spent trying to explain away what Jesus is trying to say in this passage. There are those who argue that Jesus was talking only to that one young man. That admonition to sell all of his possessions and give the money to the poor was directed only to him. When the reality is that Jesus is using a metaphor to talk about anything we value more than our relationship with God and our relationships with one another. People have also spent a lot of time and energy trying to explain away this ridiculous image of a camel trying to get through the eye of a needle. Okay, some people have argued that the needle's eye was actually a small opening in an ancient city wall right beside the main gate. And a camel, stripped of all its equipment, might actually be able to squeeze through there. Others have argued that the Greek word that is translated camel is actually a miswriting of another Greek word that means rope. Okay, they look incredibly similar. The truth is, Jesus is talking about our incapability of inheriting eternal life. For us, it is simply impossible for us to earn life in the kingdom of heaven. It's impossible for us, but with God, all things are possible. One day, an elementary school teacher was going around the room asking the children in her class what they wanted to be when they grew up. Doctor, lawyer, teacher, astronaut. She was going around the room until she got to Billy. Billy, what would you like to be when you grow up? She asked. Billy said, possible. She said, possible? He said, yeah, Mama's always telling me that I'm impossible. When I grow up, I want to be possible. It is possible to inherit eternal life only because of what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how much we may try to live up to the standards of the kingdom of heaven, we always fall miserably short. The people, the ancient Hebrews we read about in the Old Testament, tried to live up to God's standards, but they always ended up doing things like worshiping cows and sacrificing children. The religious people of Jesus' day tried to live up to the standards of the kingdom of heaven. They ended up stomping on the vulnerable and missing the presence of the divine among them. Still today, we want to put all sorts of conditions and requirements for being people of God that are simply impossible for humans to live up to. There is only one who is good enough for the kingdom of heaven. That one is the perfect creator of everything we can see and everything we cannot see. And the rich young man went away sad because he just could not give up what he valued most and follow the way, the truth, and the life. A guy named Bill Hybels used to be the pastor of this huge congregation in the suburbs of Chicago. It's called Willow Creek Community Church. Some of you may have heard of it. One day, according to a story, Hybels was on an airplane flight when the passenger in the seat next to him asked Hybels what he did for a living. When he said that he was a minister, a very interesting conversation followed. The passenger said, "I believe in God, but I don't go to church. I really don't see why I need to. I mean, I'm a decent guy, and I try to treat everybody with respect. I believe that when I die and meet God, that my record is going to be acceptable to God." And so Hybels had a legal pad sitting in his lap. He took out his pen. He drew a line across the middle of it. And he said, "I agree. God does judge everybody. But what are God's standards?" This line, he said, represents what is acceptable to God. "So, who is the best person you know? The one person you believe lives up to God's standards?" Well, Billy Graham happened to still be alive at the time, so after thinking for a moment, the guy said, "Billy Graham." "Fine," Hybels said. "Let's put Billy Graham on our chart where Billy Graham himself says he ought to go. Billy Graham has repeatedly said that he is a sinner and does not deserve to go to heaven. So we have to put Billy Graham's name below the line." "Now, I got to confess to you," Hybels said, and I'm kind of in agreement with Hybels myself. Okay, I am nowhere close to Billy Graham. So I've got to put my name well beneath his name on the chart. See, Billy Graham and I are both sinners, and our only hope is in the cross of Christ. The fact that we are going to heaven is only because of the sacrifice Jesus has made for us. Hybels' new friend had grown strangely quiet, probably anticipating his next question. "Where does your name go on the chart?" A lot of people just kind of assume that their name's up there. It's probably not. But there are folks whose name is down here who are going to end up here. Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. And the only reason that's possible is because of the love and mercy that has been poured out upon this world through Christ Jesus the Lord, God's Son, our Savior, and our one great hope is in giving all that we are and all that we have to the one who has given his all for us. Let's pray. Great and mighty God, our lives are in your hands. If they're not, Lord, we have no hope. But you have given your all for us, Lord. Please help us this day and every day to give our all for you. We ask in your precious name. Amen.